The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Numbers chapter 14. And while we have gone to verse 20, we'll go back to verse 16. Numbers 14, 16. Now, let's refresh our memories with regard to what's going on here. The Jews have been Y plus one out of the land. It has been 1 year since they have departed from Egypt. And during that 1 year, they have been tested with regard to our subject, the faith rest technique. They have been tested with regard to the daily intake of Bible doctrine. Apparently, they, some way or another, they have been taught doctrine every day. And so they have had tremendous opportunity to learn doctrine. And this is what has happened to them. Let's get the soul in here. Self-consciousness, mentality, volition, emotion, conscience, old sin nature. They have left bank and right bank. Now, most of these people on the left bank of the soul have gone negative toward doctrine. And because they have gone negative toward doctrine for 1 year, they have not been able to function under the faith rest technique, and they have developed scar tissue on the left bank of the soul. Most of them have scar tissue almost completely covering the apertures on the left bank of the soul. Result, their relationships with people are all bad, and they have begun to build scar tissue on the right bank of the soul. Illustration, Miriam's jealousy, whereby she became a leper on the outside, but she had scar tissue on the inside. Illustration, the Dathan and Abiram revolt. Again, mental attitude sins that produce scar tissue on the right bank. If you have ever made a careful study of the Jews during the first year out of Egypt, you will find that every passage has some reference to a mental attitude sin. And these mental attitude sins build scar tissue on the right bank. But this means that before you can build scar tissue on the right bank as a believer, and all adults coming out of Egypt were believers, you have to build scar tissue first on the left bank. Because the thing that keeps the right bank open is doctrine coming in. And we have a whole generation of believers with scar tissue on the soul. And in 1 year after their deliverance through the Exodus, most of them have built up scar tissue all the way. There are two exceptions, Caleb and Joshua. And I'm going to outline for you exactly the condition, the soul condition of Caleb and Joshua, and why they were great, why they made a minority report to go in and take the giants. Why were they able to tackle the giants? All right, first of all, you understand that Bible doctrine is found, for example, today in the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So first of all, we have Bible doctrine in the Word. Secondly, the Bible doctrine must go from the Word to the human spirit, where it is stored, and where we have pipes flowing into the left lung of the soul, or the left bank. And from the human spirit, Bible doctrine goes in to the left bank of the soul. This is the inhale. Remember, David says, my soul breathes. The soul has lungs. This is the inhale. Now, let's go back and take another look. Here is God behind a heavy curtain. The reason that God is behind this curtain is because man is spiritually dead. This curtain comes from the fact that man is born with an old sin nature, and old sin nature relationship with God means spiritual death. So there is a curtain, and God is behind that curtain. And because we are spiritually dead, born into this world, we cannot see God, understand God, or know anything about God. But when we accept Christ as Savior, we are given the means whereby this curtain may be drawn back. Here is again the left bank of the soul. Self-consciousness, mentality, volition, emotion, conscience. Now, when we learn Bible doctrine, it comes into the soul. Bible doctrine is found in the human spirit. Bible doctrine is found in the Word. But the only Bible doctrine that benefits you is Bible doctrine in the soul. And once you take it in, the exhale, Bible doctrine coming back out through these apertures, removes this curtain so that you have eyes of the soul whereby you see God. The only way you can understand God is through Bible doctrine in the soul. And as this as the exhale occurs here, Bible doctrine comes out toward God, God becomes real. This is the capacity to love God, category one. Your soul actually has eyes that can see God, but you cannot see God apart from divine revelation. God has revealed Himself. It is impossible to see God apart from Bible doctrine in the soul. There is no way that you can see God. There is no way that you can love God. Now let me show you the typical believer of today who talks about Jesus, who talks about loving God, and doesn't know a thing. Here's the way he looks. God is behind this curtain, which is only removed by Bible doctrine in the soul. But he doesn't have Bible doctrine in the soul. Here are those apertures, left bank. Now, he has what the Greek calls porosis, or scar tissue. He went on negative volition. Well, let's do it again. Let's get five of them here. Negative volition toward doctrine puts scar tissue on the soul. Now, when this scar tissue begins to form, these block up, and there is no longer the inhale of doctrine, the exhale of an attitude toward God and love toward God. And in each place, we have a pipe called metiotes, translated vanity in your English Bibles. And metiotes is a vacuum. And into these pipes, there is darkness from cosmos diabolicus, darkness. Cosmos diabolicus, darkness. Cosmos diabolicus, darkness. Cosmos diabolicus, darkness. In other words, darkness is sucked into the soul. That darkness includes religion, legalism, emphasis on the details of life, mental attitude sins that produce self-induced misery, and any system of human viewpoint culture. And it can be social action. All people are equal. Get rid of armaments and you'll end all war. Any war on poverty, that's human viewpoint. And sucked into the soul then is darkness. You see, doctrine is blocked. All right, since doctrine is blocked, what do you have in the soul? You have a believer with a soul in the dark. He has darkness in his soul. These are all blocked up. Therefore, he does not have the capacity to love God. He does not have the capacity to see God. God loves him with a perfect love. God loves him with a love that'll never change. But he does not have the capacity to love God. And once you get darkness in that side, you're going to have it on the other side. And the best thing you can produce is pseudo-love and pH for pseudo-happiness or minus H, whichever you want to call it. And once you get into this thing, look, we had 10 men that went into the land. You remember them? We studied them a month ago. We had 10 men in that reconnaissance team who came back and said the giants are too big. What was wrong with them? Here's what's wrong with them. Scar tissue in the soul. Right bank, left bank. Scar tissue, right bank. First of all, they looked at the giants, and all they had, they didn't have any openings here. And when they saw the giants, the only thing that was coming into their soul was metiotes, darkness, darkness, darkness. And their souls were in darkness. And when you look at giants and you look at fortifications and you look at all of the armaments from the human viewpoint, then you're frightened. And so what did they have? Mental attitude sins, fear. Mental attitude sins, worry. They were upset. They were disturbed. They fell apart. They came back and said, we cannot go into the land. Why? Because they had scar tissue on the soul. Now let me tell you something. Once you fill up this aperture and fill up this aperture, you're dead physically. That's the reason for the sin unto death. You're dead. There's no longer any reason for you to live. When your soul is in total darkness, all you are doing is getting human viewpoint and false doctrine piped into the soul here. That's all. And this is what spiritual death really is. And every case of spiritual death has to do with maximum scar tissue over the soul. Total hardness of heart. Let's go back to Judas Iscariot again. Judas Iscariot was an unbeliever. And he went negative, not a doctrine, well, one phase of doctrine, the gospel. And so he built up scar tissue, scar tissue, scar tissue. And on this side, his relationship with people, the same thing. He stole from people. He had mental attitude sins. Mary, for example, he was jealous of her and so on. And when Jesus offered him the sop, he had just a little gap left in his volition, just a little gap left in his mentality. That was the highest offer that could come his way. And when he accepted the sop without accepting the person, he closed up the last gap. Then he was Satan possessed. Why? Because here is total darkness, and Satan can live in total darkness. And therefore, under Satan possession, he went out and betrayed Jesus Christ. Then later, he regretted what he had done. And so, he regretted his sin. He confessed his sin. He made restitution for his sin. But, you say, well then he should have gone on and accepted Christ. He couldn't accept Christ. He was in total darkness. He did the only thing he could do. He committed suicide. Now, we're going to see in this passage tonight, what happens. The 10 spies who came back and reported, we cannot go into the land, they were full of scar tissue, and they are going to die before the chapter terminates. They are going to be dead. And you know what's going to happen? Then the Jews are going to say, we will go into the land after all, Lord. You've persuaded us. And you know what's going to happen? Moses say, don't you go up that hill. The enemy are up the hill. On the other side is the land. Here they are at Kadesh Barnea. And they say, we're going up the hill and take those people and go into the land. And Moses says, don't do it. Why did he say don't do it? Because he already knew. Scar tissue on the soul, they had to die in the wilderness. They were a dead generation. They had, some of them would live out 39 years, almost to the end. But within the next 39 years, that whole generation of born-again believers are going to be dead. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 10, their bodies were strewn over the desert. Why? Because in 1 year, they built up enough scar tissue to wipe them out. Every now and then, you get a generation of believers wiped out because of scar tissue of the soul. Now, what happened? They marched up the hill and first of all, they rebounded. Now, rebound could put you in fellowship, but if you're in fellowship with maximum scar tissue on the soul, you're not going anywhere. Rebound doesn't remove scar tissue. Only learning doctrine will do it. You can rebound in 1 second and get in fellowship. It may take you 5 years of intense study to get rid of your scar tissue. It may take you 1 year listening to Bible teaching every night, playing a couple of tapes every day. Scar tissue doesn't come off except through inhale, exhale, Bible doctrine going in, attitude toward God coming out. And the whole purpose of learning Bible doctrine is your attitude toward God. Your attitude toward people is secondary. People say, I learned doctrine to apply it. That isn't why you learn it. You store up doctrine so that you can appreciate God, love God, have a relationship with God, respond to God's love. Love God. And you cannot love God unless you know Bible doctrine. The more doctrine you know, the more you love God. The less doctrine you know, the less you love God. And when you go negative on doctrine, you know how some believers are. We have them here in Baraka Church. I am now at a crossroads in my pastorate here at Baraka Church. A whole generation of people that were once eager for doctrine have gone negative on doctrine. Oh, they think they can get it elsewhere. They can't. They think they can survive without listening to Bible teaching. They can't. They think they don't need the tapes. They can't. They like to read books and find something that disagrees with me. Well, that doesn't bother me, but it certainly hurts them. I know people who read commentaries just to find someone who'll disagree. That's all they read them for. Now look, when you go negative toward doctrine because you're too busy, often people get too busy, and they get negative toward doctrine. And once you start getting negative toward doctrine, you can even come and sit here on Sunday morning and listen. You can even claim that you listen to tapes at home. You can do a lot of things, but once you start building up scar tissue, you've had it. And when you get all the way up to the top, it's just a matter of time when how and when the sin unto death will be administered. Now, we have a lot of people in Baraka Church. I'm not referring to you because you come to Bible class, obviously. But this church is loaded up with people that used to be eager for doctrine, but they got too busy and therefore neglected doctrine. Or they just went negative toward doctrine. Or somehow they got fouled up and disinterested and they lost interest in doctrine. That's the biggest tragedy Baraka Church will probably ever have. A lot of people in this church who have no interest in Bible doctrine, not that they don't really care for doctrine, they're either too busy for it, or they've neglected it, or they've rejected it, but it all amounts to the same. No inhale, no exhale. And so when this begins to build up, in the past, they had a wonderful attitude toward the Lord. They had a divine viewpoint toward life. Life was wonderful, but now it's all changed. And I can tell you, when people start coming regularly to Baraka Church, to Bible class, and then when they start peeling off, and when you see the last of them, or they may give lip service by coming once a week, I can tell you right there what's happened. They're too busy, and when you're that busy, you're really too busy to live. And so you build up scar tissue, you build up scar tissue, you build up scar tissue, then you have a trouble. Then you say, I'm going to start getting back to Bible class, I'm going to go positive. But now it's an uphill fight, because where once you had apertures open to take in the Word of God, they're partially blocked now. And now, you see, every time I may bring a message and you say, I don't agree with that, or I don't understand that. You don't understand because you didn't keep up. You don't agree because you don't know what's going on, what the categories are, and so on. And therefore, it now becomes a crash program. You have to inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. This is all toward God, and that begins to saw off that scar tissue. And it's an uphill fight. It takes a year, 2 years, 3 years, crash program all the way. Now, you see, that's the problem. And Bible doctrine isn't being taught everywhere, no matter what people think. Oh, I get out on the West Coast there, I hear the weirdest thing. You can't believe some of the weird old things that are going on out there. I won't even, why I even get interested in it. But it is really something. It's weird. Some people say that California is going to fall into the ocean. I don't know whether it's going to fall in the ocean or not. I told them out there one night about smog-bound California. They could have it. And the more smog, the people think smog comes from exhaust pipes and so on, and from industry. No, it comes from the inside. It's the exhale of fuzzy thinking. And that's why I explain why it's so clear in Texas. Well, this is what happened to that generation of believers, and every now and then you see a generation of believers who die the sin unto death. Now, your interest in Bible doctrine, by the way, we have some people in California that are most interesting to me, because in the past I've known certain people out there very interested in doctrine. They're not interested now. And it's very interesting to watch. Once you start building up scar tissue, it's a hard road back. It's like getting out of shape. Did you ever get out of shape and then try to get back in again? Well, it's about the worst thing in the world can happen to you. I remember when my commanding general ordered me to run in the Border Olympics. That was an order. He said, you ran a quarter mile in college. He says, you're going to run the mile relay team. And I hadn't run for a couple of years. And he thought, Border Olympics, see, we're going to meet some of the best stars of the country. He thought I could just step out there. He didn't know any difference. Well, I did, and he gave me this order 30 days before the Border Olympics. So I was supposed to get in shape to run the quarter mile. Well, I went out and worked out a little bit, then I decided to run a real time trial. And I really poured it on. And I was so sick at the end, I didn't care if I ever ran again. I didn't care if I had legs. And finally, I realized that I wasn't going to get back in shape in time. It was too late. I was just going to make it worse. So I loafed for a couple of weeks and went out and ran number two man. I ran a 50-second quarter mile, the best I could do. 50 seconds. And I was almost dead when I got to the end. I saw spots. I was sick for about an hour. I didn't feel right for a couple of days. But the point was, I wasn't in condition, and there isn't any way you can do it. You don't get in shape in 30 days and then run something like that. Can't be done. And you see, it's a hard roll back. If you're out of shape physically and you start doing something you did 20 years ago, you find out. And you see, once you get stiff, then you don't want to ever exercise again. But the point is, that's when you need to keep it up till you're no longer stiff. And this is the whole point. You've got to intake, output, inhale, exhale. And this is what they didn't do. And Kadesh Barnea was designed by God. God brought them to the land. Here is Kadesh Barnea, and over there on the other side is the land. And God brought them to the land, and they didn't go in for one reason. They had been 1 year negative on Bible doctrine, and because they were negative on Bible doctrine, they had built up scar tissue, their souls were dark, and there were 12 men who went in to make a reconnaissance, and two of them looked like this, Caleb and Joshua. This is the way they looked. No scar tissue. Then they took in doctrine, they exhaled doctrine. And with these eyes over here, they could see God. They knew God. They understood God. And because they could see God, the exhale of Bible doctrine here, and because they had maximum capacity to love God, category one, you know what they said? The giants are nothing. We can go in and whip them now. Let's go now, Caleb and Joshua said. Why did they say that? Because they were free from scar tissue of the soul. And therefore, being free from scar tissue of the soul, they're ready to go in. The giants are nothing. But the other 10 looked like this. Over on this side, they looked like this. They wept all night. Bunch of crybabies. Over here, you see, they didn't have anything to go by here. They didn't know God. They were born again. They're in heaven now. They know a lot about God now they didn't know before. Well, when they are at the bottom of the hill, and the command which should have been to go up and take the land, they said, we can't do it. The giants are fantastic, and we're grasshoppers in their sight. And moreover, they have this and this and this. You remember the report. No view of God. And therefore, they were ready to quit right then and there. All right. Now, go back to Numbers chapter 14, verse 16. Numbers 14, 16. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the desert. Now, this is a verse which explains the whole picture. Why wasn't the Lord able to bring this people into the land? Because, one, their attitude toward God was shot down, scar tissue of the soul. Secondly, their whole relationship with people was shot down. They were dark. They were minus doctrine. And therefore, metiotes, these pipes, these vacuums, brought darkness. They were minus doctrine, so they had darkness, darkness, darkness in the soul. And they were not able to go because God, they were negative toward God. They were negative toward doctrine. If you're going in and take the land, you have to have freedom of scar tissue from the soul. And there's only one way to keep those apertures clear from scar tissue, and that's to learn doctrine today, learn doctrine tomorrow, learn doctrine the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And this whole generation is going to be wiped out because when they finally hit maximum scar tissue, just like Judas Iscariot, just like Pharaoh the Exodus, when they finally get maximum scar tissue, out they go. And the 10 spies who brought in the majority report, they're going to die right here in the passage. But they're all going to die. He says, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, notice the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing, and the words the guilty are found, Actually, it should be read, and is but. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, I want you to notice something. This thing has a way of snowballing. Negative volition builds up scar tissue. And that means the parents do not teach the children. So the next generation, negative volition, builds up scar tissue. And this will go on for three generations, and then God stops it. But here's generation one, generation two, generation three. And they build up their own scar tissue individually. And this is what is actually meant here. Even though God is gracious and forgives their sins, which he does, under what condition? What one word describes how he forgives? Rebound. Their sins are forgiven under the rebound technique, but they still do not go into the land. Why? Because of that scar tissue problem. All right. He says now, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, of the iniquity of this people, and so on. And the Lord said, I have a pardoned according to thy word. And even though he has forgiven them, this is where we stopped. In verse 20, a few weeks ago, even though he has pardoned them, this is the way they look. They are now forgiven, but they have scar tissue on the left bank. They are forgiven here. They're added that God is still darkness to them. They know nothing about God. They're saved, that's all. And this is the way they look. And they're pardoned at this particular point. But it's in the next 39 years it will be demonstrated, even though they're pardoned, even though they are not all destroyed here, it will be demonstrated that without, when you have scar tissue on the soul, you can't go into the land. That is, you can't be a winner. And it's going to be the next generation, under conditions you'll see in a moment, who will actually go into the land. All right, you can't be a winner with scar tissue. Now verse 21. Now notice, in spite of their scar tissue, but truly as I keep on existing, all of the earth, or literally the land here, Ha'aretz, all of the land shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Lord's going to be glorified even if they do have scar tissue, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the desert and have tempted me these 10 times have not hearkened to my voice. I want you to notice this verse very carefully. All those men, all those people literally, which have seen my glory. When that seeing the glory of God means that they have been taught doctrine pertaining to the person of God, his glory. And that isn't all. That doctrine pertaining to the glory plus doctrine pertaining to the miracles. They have seen all of these things, so they have been exposed to doctrine. But they were negative toward doctrine, and therefore they heard these things. By the way, it means they kept on hearing these things. But even though they kept on hearing, they build up scar tissue, and it's one, you see, hearing is a means of learning, but hearing is not learning. Just because you hear tonight, it doesn't mean you learn. Now notice again this verse. Because all those people which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, they observed those things, and in the desert, and have tempted me. That is, they failed the faith rest technique 10 times. And have not hearkened to my voice, doctrine as it was then presented, the voice of God. Surely, this is of a truth, they shall not see the land which I promised to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. How do they provoke God? By day, rejecting, going negative toward doctrine, and building up scar tissue. Building up scar tissue. Now, notice something. There's an exception. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, it says here. This is the way the Hebrew looks. Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. And Ruach also means breath. Now get this. My servant Caleb had another breath. What does it mean he had another breath? I want to show you Caleb, because Caleb is the illustration here. Caleb had a left bank to the soul. He had another breath. That is, he took in doctrine daily, daily, daily. And this doctrine came from his human spirit where it was stored. Just like you go in a closet and you take out clothes and put them on. You don't wear all of your clothes at once. But they're stored there and you can grab anything at any particular time. So, Caleb had a large closet, his human spirit. And I think by making a small spirit, I may have made a mistake, because the human spirit is big. It's a big closet. And so every day he's taking in doctrine. And every day exhale, self-consciousness. He is occupied with Christ. Mentality has a relaxed mental attitude. And from his mentality, he has the divine viewpoint. The giants, we can whip them. And his volition, he makes the decision. Let us go now and take the land. Emotion, he has a rapport love for God. Conscience, he has divine norms and standards. Therefore, he says we can take the land now. Caleb had another breath. And that another breath is daily intake of Bible doctrine. Caleb was free from scar tissue of the soul. So let's give Ruach a better translation here. But my servant Caleb, because he had another breath in him, and because he had another breath, what did he do? He followed me fully. What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? It means maximum doctrine in the soul, therefore the exhale toward God. And the eyes of the soul see God as he is and love God as he is. They see God and they love God. But this can only be accomplished through Bible doctrine. Your eyes are closed of the soul without Bible doctrine. That's all. And it doesn't mean Bible doctrine once in a while. It means Bible doctrine every day. So here is Caleb, free from scar tissue of the soul. But my servant Caleb, because he has another breath in him and hath followed me fully, Bible doctrine maximum, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the next verse tells who was in the land at that particular section. The Amalekites and the Canaanites were in the Kadesh Barnea area. And the Lord spake, verse 26, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Scar tissue building up, see? And how do they show their scar tissue? They murmur against me. When you build up scar tissue on the soul, it isn't that you don't even see God, it's that you murmur against God. Their exhale, what's coming out at all, is against. They murmur against me. When you build up scar tissue on the soul, you resent God. You murmur against God. You complain against God. Please notice, God says they are murmuring against me. Verse 28, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I to you. In other words, what have they spoken in the ears of the Lord? They have expressed their darkness. Now let me show you exactly how they spoke in his ears and expressed the wrong viewpoint. Here again, left bank of the soul, scar tissue. That means that metiotes, these pipes, darkness, darkness, darkness. Now they have darkness in the soul. With darkness in the soul, their attitude toward God is darkness. They do not understand God, they do not love God, and they blame God for everything. They murmur against God, and as they have murmured against God, so God will deal with them in this situation. See, in verse 27, they're called an evil congregation. He says, as you have spoken in mine ears, this is criticism of God, so will I do to you. Your body shall fall in the desert, and all that were numbered among you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, those of you who have murmured against me, doubtless, and this means not doubtless, it means there is no question about it, ye shall not come into this land. I want you to notice what God's word is at this point. God's word to this crowd with scar tissue in the soul, ye shall not come into the land. See, in a few minutes they're going to turn around and try to go into the land on their own. He says, ye shall not come into this land, verse 30, concerning which I promise to make you dwell therein, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. They are the only two free from scar tissue. But your little ones, which ye said should be victimized, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Now, how did this come to pass? Turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. How does it happen that in the next 40 years, the next generation will be prepared? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. How can the next generation take up the slack? Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You can hear it all day, but it doesn't mean anything to you unless you know doctrine. The word Lord, person of Jesus Christ. God, essence of Godhead. One, Jesus Christ. In other words, this is something the Jews use in their worship. And they say it very beautifully in the Hebrew. But it doesn't mean a thing unless, one, you're born again, unless, two, your left bank is free of scar tissue. Inhale, exhale. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart. When the word heart is used, the word heart refers to the lungs of the soul. When the essence of the soul, like self-conscious, mentality, volition, emotion, conscience, old sin nature, when this is used, this is called soul. Out here, this is called heart. How are you going to love the Lord thy God? This is love directed toward God. Love coming out of each one of these. This is the exhale now. How are you going to do this? You cannot exhale unless, first of all, you inhale. You notice that? Which came first, the exhale or the inhale?
Inhale.
Yeah, very good. Right. You bet your life the inhale. And the Lord breathed into their nostrils, both of them, the breath of lives. First came the inhale. What's wrong with Christianity today? Exhale without inhale. You try to exhale with no air in your lungs. There's one time when you do it. You know when you do it? I'll tell you. You exhale when you're vomiting. You remember that. That's the word V-O-M-I-T. What's the matter with you tonight? And that's a perfect illustration. Out comes nothing of significance. Now, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. How can you do it? How can you do it? You have to inhale first, and the inhale is doctrine, 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 and the capacity to love God is doctrine over here in the soul. And how does doctrine get in the soul? It comes through the apertures in Bible teaching. And the exhale is love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all five apertures of the left bank. See, that's what's wrong with this generation. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and notice this, with all thy soul. Look at it, soul. One, two, three, four, five. Minus the sin nature, of course. With your soul, you can love God. You can love Him with your self-consciousness, with your mentality, with your volition, with your emotion, with your conscience. And you can love Him with these because there's an aperture for inhale and exhale. Doctrine must go in and doctrine must go out. Doctrine in your soul is translated into love for God. Now notice it says, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and next, with all thy power. The Word of God is alive and power. Now, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What does it mean to be in the heart? It means inhale. How do you get doctrine into the soul? Through these apertures, through a lung. First of all, it has to be in the heart. And then you have the exhale, which is love toward God. Now, how are you going to do this? Generation before Moses here in Deuteronomy has failed. They're dying off. This is the way you're going to do it. Who's going into the land? The next generation. Now, here is why they went in. One generation, it's too late. Notice it doesn't say here, and thou shalt teach them diligently to the parents. Notice that? To whom? What's wrong with the parents? Let me show you what's wrong with the parents. Scar tissue of the soul. Scar tissue right back. Every time you turn around, they're jealous, they're bitter, they're vindictive, and so on. But the children, It can be taught to them. Why? Because they do not have scar tissue. So, thou shalt teach them unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit down in the house, and when you walk around, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, lie down, bedtime, rising up, breakfast. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. These are little ponies, phylacteries. They shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and in thy gates, so they can be learned. These are all training aids. Verse 20, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say, and then we have all that there to say. Notice, these people who have failed will say, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. We were in slavery in Egypt. And the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and mighty upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. Notice that phrase, before our eyes, they failed. He brought us up from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Please notice, to give us the land. They won't occupy the land, but they'll teach their children. In other words, notice, they say, now look, young people, we've got whipped by the Amalekites at Kadesh Barnea. So what you want to do is to train you now. So they might make them do X number of push-ups, work with certain kind of weapons. No. If they're going into the land, it's a soul matter. It's a matter of having doctrine in and out constantly so there's no scar tissue. And when that generation crosses the Jordan, many of them will be just like this. Some of them will not. There will be a few who will not be that way. As illustrated, of course, after Jericho, the battle at Ai. But this is the way it has to be. This is the generation that will take the land. This is Caleb. This is Joshua. Now turn over to verse 8. Verse 8, or chapter 8, excuse me, Deuteronomy 8:3. Now notice, let's start with 8:1 just to get the context. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. This is the second generation now. These are the ones who have been taught during those 40 years. That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the desert to humble thee, to orient you to grace and to prove thee to know what was in thine, what? Heart. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. In other words, they hungered so they could be fed. Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. Please notice, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What makes a believer live? The word of God going in and out, in and out. And that's what he says here. Why? How are they going to live? They're going to live by the Word. What's going to keep them alive? The Word. See, the generation that failed, this is to the next generation. This message in Deuteronomy is addressed to the second generation. The first generation failed. Now notice again. Go back to verse 2. He led thee these 40 years in the desert to humble thee and to prove thee to know that what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Back to verse 1. The middle of verse 1, that ye may live. And there are constant illustrations of this. Notice verse 4. Thy raiment did not wear out, neither did your shoes. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. They all had good... That's quite important when you're walking for 40 years. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now, go down to verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget God. The word lifted up means filled up. See, there's scar tissue, which he brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and so on. Now back to our passage. See, this next generation is going to make it in. Verse 31. Numbers 14:31. But your little ones, these are the children, that would be 19 and under, which he said should be a victim, victimized, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. You see, you really can't know the land unless you know the Lord. Who's going to give them the land? Now let's get this straight. Who's going to give them the land? The Lord's going to give them the land. So, whom do you have to know? The giver or the gift? You have to know the giver, not the gift. I remember my father. He was a very generous man. He was always very generous with me. And I knew him very well. There were certain times when I would never dream of asking him for anything. Never. Most of the time you could ask him and he'd give you anything. But there were certain times when I'd never do it, just because I knew him. Because I knew the giver. He always gave. I knew when to ask and when not to ask. We know the giver, the source of everything. And you see, how do you know the giver? See, the word know is very important. Bible doctrine pulls back, here's God, behind the curtain. And only Bible doctrine pulls back the curtain, but not Bible doctrine in the Word. Not Bible doctrine even in the human spirit. It has to be the eyes that see God are in the soul, the heart. And that Bible doctrine has to come inhale and then exhale. And when you look back, the curtain is gone. Then you see God. Again, the importance of knowing Bible doctrine. So, we read, but your little ones, which you said should be victimized, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. You see, they despised God, therefore they despised his gift. If they had known God, they would not have rejected his gift. But the people will love the land because they love the giver, the Lord. See, the land is a detail. Well, what happens to them? But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this desert. They are going to die the sin unto death. And your children shall wander in the desert 40 years and bear your whoredoms. Whoredoms? What does it mean here? When a believer goes negative toward doctrine, he's a whore as far as God is concerned. This is spiritual, of course. Why? Because the only thing that gets into his soul is darkness. Darkness. Culture. Theories. Viewpoints. Concepts. Religion. Legalism. And this makes him unfaithful to God. When you have a dark soul, the illustration is given. This is why religion is called a prostitute. The whore of Babylon. Why is that used to describe religion? Because you see, the only pipes that are open are metiotes, the vacuum that lets in religion. And when you have religion in your soul, you're unfaithful to God. And therefore God uses the word whore. You see, when you become religious, you can accept almost anything, but not be faithful to God. You can accept all kinds of kooky ideas. And so that's the concept of a whore. For money, a whore can accept anyone, but never be faithful to someone. And that someone, this is the analogy, to God, you see. And what blocks off everything here? See, scar tissue in here. And once scar tissue forms, metiotes, the vacuum opens up. And in comes darkness. all of these kooky ideas. And when you finally fill up your soul, the apertures of the soul with scar tissue, then you're dead. That's the sin unto death. And God explains at verse 34, and after the number of days in which you search the land, that was 40 days, each day for a year, ye shall bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Now, my breach of promise simply means my postponement of promise. God cannot provide His grace to those, that is, His blessing, to those who have scar tissue on the left bank. And so we have a postponement of promise. Not breach of promise, but postponement of promise. And then the Lord goes on and describes, and then once again He says in verse 35, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation, scar tissue, that are gathered together against me in this desert. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land, died by plague before the Lord. There were 10 of them. This is the way they looked. Scar tissue on the left bank, scar tissue on the right bank, and they died. Whatever the plague was, whatever it was. And this shook the people. We'll see that in a moment. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, kept on living. In other words, 10 died immediately. They kept on living. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel. And the people, notice, they mourned greatly. Now turn back for a moment to chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept all night. Now they mourn. This is slightly different. At the end of verse 39, they mourned greatly. What's the difference? The weeping was emotional, the block up here, and this was strictly an emotional reaction, fear. They were afraid, they were worried, and they wept. But now that they mourned, we have the same people with the same scar tissue, right and left bank. They have scar tissue. Their souls are in darkness. But now the word mourn means they're sorry for what they've done. They have seen the 10 men die, and now they want to go in. So what do? They repent. Let's get both words in here. One, remorse. This remorse means to feel sorry. That's an emotion. I should put it down here. And repent, they change their minds. So they were full of remorse, and they were full of repentance. Remorse, emotional. They feel sorry for what they've done. Repent, they change their mind. Now they've decided they'll go into the land. So next morning, please notice the people mourned greatly. They were remorseful. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up to the top of the mount. I love that King James, gat them up. They charged. See, up on the top of the mountain, we have the enemy. So here they go. They're going up the hill. Now, see, they've changed their mind. But they're operating. Who's charging? Scar tissue. And you can't charge with scar tissue. Now, I want you to notice this. They got them up the top of the mountain saying, lo, we are here. We will go up into this place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Please notice they confess their sins. They have rebounded, and they're even in fellowship. But they're in fellowship with maximum scar tissue. And getting in fellowship is great. And it's the basis for learning doctrine. But if they were going to reverse the trend, they have about 1 year of negative, probably 1 for 5. It would take 5 years of Bible class every night to get rid of all that scar tissue. And then they could charge. But God doesn't use scar tissue people. And it's one thing to rebound, which gives you the filling of the Spirit today. Gave them fellowship. But rebound doesn't remove scar tissue. Rebound simply gets you back in fellowship. Now, so they charged. They said, we've sinned, and they charged. Verse 41, Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the command of the Lord? It shall not prosper. When they got ready to charge, this is what Moses said to him. Don't go not up. Verse 42, for the Lord is not among you, And that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you. See, this explains this little parenthesis in verse 25. The Amalekites and the Canaanites were actually in the valley on the other side. Here's the mountain. We have Amalekites and Canaanites in the valley over here. And now the enemy are up the top of the mountain, and they're charging up. Old scar tissue is charging. Scar tissue. See, they're very sincere now. They've rebounded. We have sinned. They confess their sins, and now they're very sincere about this. Listen, you can rebound till you're blue in the face. I'm sure many of you rebound, get out of fellowship, rebound, get out of fellowship, rebound, get out of fellowship. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But in between, when you're in fellowship, you better learn doctrine. Sincerity won't carry you five steps up the hill. You'll get clobbered. Learn doctrine. That's your only hope. And it's the Bible doctrine in your soul. That's all that counts. These are real sincere people. They mourned all the night before. Oh, God, how we've sinned against thee. First they crybabied all night. And then when the 10 died, then they changed their tune. They took one look at those birds that brought in the majority report. And they said, uh-oh. And they started to reverse the trend. But when they reversed the trend, they rebounded, which is fine, but you don't reverse the trend in a second. These people took a year to build up that scar tissue that caused them to fail. And they're just like Judas. They got them up the mountain in verse 40. And Judas, he went back to the temple and confessed and so on. And Moses told them not to go up. Verse 44, but they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. However, something didn't go along. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses did not leave the camp. He already knew the outcome. And what happened? Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites, which dwelt on that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. Now, what does it mean when it says smote them and discomfited them? Well, I'm going to show you. The first is a hiphil imperfect, yakum. This is the form of the verb, J-A-K-U-M. And yakum is a hiphil imperfect third masculine plural plus the third masculine plural suffix of the verb naka. The verb looks like this in its form, N-A-K-A-H. Now, what does naka mean? It means to slay or to defeat. It means both. Hiphil stem, they were caused to be defeated. So some of them were slain. Some of them already had completely covered the apertures with scar tissue. And the rest were defeated. So it means both. For some of them, it was double portion. Defeat and slaying. For others, they were just whipped. They came all the way back to the camp, the bivouac at Hormah. Now, the next word is translated discomfited, and it looks like this. Yakthum. Looks like this. J-A-K-T-H-U-M. Now, that's the form. That's a hiphil imperfect, third masculine plural, plus the third masculine plural suffix. And this word isn't quite the same as the other. The form looks almost the same, but this is from Kathath. And Kathath, K-A-T-H-A-T-H, Kathath actually means to be cut off in the Kel. In the Hiphil, it means to be routed. So actually the Hebrew says, they were caused to be slain and defeated, and they were routed, panicked, all the way to Hormah, even unto Hormah. They were clobbered but good. Why? They were doing what they should have been doing in the first place, but couldn't in the first place because of scar tissue, and couldn't in the second place because of scar tissue. It's possible to be doing the right thing but never get anywhere. Why? Because the key is not in doing, the key is in learning doctrine. That's the key. The greatest virtue in the Christian life is knowledge of doctrine. Knowledge of doctrine. Knowledge of doctrine. Breathing. And you learn doctrine not just to apply, to experience. That's secondary. You learn doctrine to have a right relationship with God, to respond to God's love, to love Him. That's why you learn doctrine. And to keep that left bank free from scar tissue. Because once you get scar tissue on the soul, you've had it, no matter how sincere. And you can even, look, suppose that you have a left bank right now and you're half full of scar tissue on each one of these. All right, now you've rebounded, so you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But the filling of the Holy Spirit makes it possible for you to learn doctrine. But the filling of the Spirit isn't learning doctrine, it's the means. Now, if you're going to, this, so the scar tissue is there. So now you are a believer, back in fellowship, and you have 50% scar tissue over each aperture of the left bank. So, your attitude toward God is limited. And you have to, the only way you have to get rid of that scar tissue for maximum effectiveness, and that makes intake, output, intake, output, intake, output, intake, output, intake, output, and these are the eyes that see God. So if you don't know Bible doctrine, you can rebound and get back in fellowship and still be a spiritual idiot. The only difference is you're a spiritual idiot in fellowship. You're a spiritual baby in fellowship. You're a spiritual baby. You're a spiritual three-year-old in fellowship. You're a spiritual four-year-old in fellowship. But if you want someone to carry the ball, you don't get a three-year-old. You get a good, husky, tough 20-year-old to carry the ball. And you see, 20-year-olds are those free from scar tissue. So if you want to take a hill, if you want to charge up a hill, you don't get scar tissue types to do it. They get clobbered every time. And they didn't lack sincerity. They were very sincere. Remember, they spent a whole night mourning. That would impress some of you. They rebounded and they wept and they wailed for a whole night. And then they formed up in the morning. They said, we're going up to take. See, real determination now. And they were sincere, and they wanted to do the right thing now, but now it's the wrong thing. God says, go not up. And why did He say, go not up? Because inside of each one of those persons getting ready to charge up that hill is a person loaded up with scar tissue. And scar tissue types don't go anywhere. You sit down. When you have scar tissue on the soul, the best thing you can do is to plant yourself somewhere and open your ears and take in doctrine, 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 and then some more. In other words, it has to be a crash program. The most difficult recovery thing in the world is to be loaded up with scar tissue on the left bank of the soul and then try to recover it. Because you're going to have to do a lot of rebounding, obviously, and that gives you the filling of the Spirit. But there must be a daily intake, output, inhale, exhale, and that will cut down scar tissue, but it takes time. And because you have scar tissue in the soul, on those apertures, a lot of things that you hear you're going to resent and dislike and refuse. And you have to persist. Even when you are upset and antagonized and in a state of rejection and in a state of being tempted to do something else or getting busy or whatever it is that keeps you from doctrine. And you need to hear it as it is taught publicly. You need to hear it from tapes. You need to get it and get it and get it and get it. And that's probably the program that a lot of people around here and throughout the rest of the country need. They just need to stop doing everything. Stop teaching Sunday school. Stop whatever you're doing by way of committee work. Stop doing this and stop doing that and sit down and get the word until you clear up the scar tissue. Because 1 year without scar tissue is worth 40 years with scar tissue. And it's no disgrace to sit down and listen and take it in and take it in. And you don't have to worry about that gobbledygook about you're simply damming up the stream and the lake is now all messed up and there's no flow in and out. Well, that, just forget that. And the idea that you ought to witness to 10 people a day with scar tissue on your soul, keep your mouth shut. You see, we think in terms of doing. God doesn't think in terms of doing. Suppose now this is an illustration. You men will appreciate this. Suppose you had your choice, man, between a woman who was the right woman for you, who responded to you perfect, and with whom you could have the most marvelous love in the world, soul love and physical love, as over against a woman who could cook, who could clean, who was talented, who could make $100,000 a year on the side, etc., etc., etc. Now, which would you want? Well, if you've got any moxie, you'll want the one with whom you can have the love relationship. Now, a lot of you would rather have that gal that could pull in $100,000 on the side and still cook three good meals, etc. You know why? You always want to do. You're doers. You think you've got to be doing, 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 doing. And it isn't a matter of doing. It's a matter of wooing. And that comes from Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. Now here's the breakdown of the faith rest technique. Here's the principle that comes out of this. Scar tissue on the soul makes the faith rest technique impossible. You can't faith rest with scar tissue on the soul. Why? Because scar tissue on the soul destroys your eyesight toward God. And the whole basis of the faith rest technique is, I can't do it, God can do it. And the whole principle of the faith rest technique, God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. I can't meet this problem. I can't solve this situation. I can't handle this. I can't straighten out this or that or whatever it is. God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. That's the faith rest technique. But you can't say, oh yes, you can utter the words. But to use this under a faith rest principle, remember that we talk about faith rest in terms of promises. What's the source of those promises? God is the source of those promises. Claiming doctrine, who's the source of that doctrine? God is the source of that doctrine. And the whole point of the faith rest technique is that those promises, those doctrines, those principles which we claim are just little glimmers of how marvelous and gracious and wonderful and fantastic God is. And you can't faith rest. And that's why it's Caleb who goes into the land. And that's why the rest of them do not go into the land. Well, now look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Now listen to this. Joshua's just a little further up the road. Some of you are taking a long trip. Then the children of Judah, this is Joshua 14:6, came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Now here was our old friend Caleb. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. You remember that. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to make a reconnaissance in the land. And I brought him word again. As it was what? He saw these things as it was in what? Exactly. Heart here is the eyes of the soul. Now I want you to see exactly. Doctrine came in the left bank, and as he went through the land, everything he saw on the right bank in the land, he evaluated from the standpoint of doctrine. Here's doctrine, 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 doctrine. And so he looks out on the right bank, and everything he sees giants, good, we'll whip them. He sees walled cities, fine, we'll destroy them. He sees the chariots of the Canaanite, fine, we'll whip them. He sees the beautiful agricultural economy, a land of milk and honey, fine, we'll own it. Now, what does that? He's open here. He's open on the left bank, no scar tissue, and therefore no scar tissue over here. And that was 40 years ago when this happens. Now he's 80, you see. And I tell you one thing, he may have a wrinkle or two, but he doesn't have any wrinkles in his soul. It's the soul that counts here. And now he says, and I brought him word again as was in mine heart. There's the operation of the lungs of the soul. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. Why? The scarf tissue. But I followed the Lord entirely. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Please notice, the Lord hath kept me alive. The Lord hath kept me alive. Not some system, not some gimmick. Every time you find an old person, what keeps you alive? I remember once they did this out in California. They had a couple people about 95. One of them said he smoked and drank every day, and the other one said he abstained. Take your pick. I'll tell you what kept Caleb alive, no scar tissue on the soul. The Lord hath kept me alive. And that doesn't mean that he held his breath for 40 years. He kept taking in doctrine every day. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. See, he's 85 now. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the desert, and now, lo, I am this day. Apparently this was his birthday even. 85 years old. He's 85. And he's been faith resting for 45 years. Moses said, Caleb, you're going to have that land with the giants on it. And he said, great. And so for 45 years, he's been faith resting it every day. And he had to wait till this crowd was whipped and this crowd was whipped, and he fought in all the campaigns. And after 5 years of campaigning in the land, when most of the land was now conquered except the area of the Jebusites, and that wasn't his area, there was a hill on which the children of Anak, the giants, lived. And now he has permission to carry on his own private war against the giants. I want you to notice, he stayed with a public war till it was finished. He served until everything had been taken that was going to be taken. And then he asked permission to carry on a war to the giants. Why? Because for 45 years he's been faith resting. You see, and what do I mean by faith resting? I mean for 45 years, inhale, exhale. He has no scar tissue on the left bank of his soul, and he sees the Lord every day, every day, every day, every day. And that's why he says in verse 11, this is the testimony at 85, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. What does he mean? His strength is the same. It means no scar tissue. He didn't have any scar tissue at 40, and he didn't have any at 85. He's just as strong now as he was then. Now, notice verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakim, they have an S here, it isn't necessary. These are the giants, were there. And that the cities were great and high walls. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua said, go ahead, boy. And he did. And the rest of this is found in Judges. Well, Joshua 15:14. Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. And Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak. These are three tribes. Shishai, Ahiman, Talmai, the children of Anak. Just one statement. He clobbered the giants. 85 years old. That makes no difference. The issue, why was he great? Because for 45 years, he took in Bible doctrine every day. Inhale, exhale. He was free from scar tissue. Therefore, he operated on faith rest. And therefore, at 85, he went up and clobbered the giants. with all of their muscles, all of their strength, all of their walled cities, all of their armament, they were no match for one believer free from scar tissue of the soul. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying Thy Word. Bless it now, and in the ministry of Thy Spirit, may it be real to us in Christ's name. Amen.